Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I'm going to read from translated version of Sri Hari Bhakti Vilas, compiled by Gopal Bhatta Goswami and then produced by Sanatan Goswami, on the topic of qualifications of Guru, as there's supposed to be initiation ceremony tomorrow here. Often on such occasions we speak on the requirement of the disciple, but the requirement of the guru should be considered also. Recently, on my, I think it was a YouTube channel, someone posted a comment that I can prove with evidence from Hari Bhakti Vilas that Westerners cannot be gurus. And that was pretty much shot down before he put the evidence out. One thing in studying Hari Bhakti Vilas is that we should understand, as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur states, and Srila Prabhupada quotes in one of his Chaitanya Charitamrita purports, that within Hari Bhakti Vilas, although it is the standard guidebook for Gauriya Vaishnavas, there are also some smarter considerations for persons who are too much attached to the bodily way of thinking. And one thing we should also understand is that in the times when Varnashram Dharma was going on, even if it was going on in a perverse way, it very much defined people's whole concept of who they are and who others are. So the idea was there that only someone in a Brahmana family can be a guru. But we have to understand Hari Bhakti Vilas in the light of the topmost shastra, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita. And this is the way that our acharyas present it. Actually, if we think that only someone born in a Brahmana family can be a guru, if we were to apply that in Gauriya Vaishnavism, then we wouldn't have our sampradaya as we know it. Because, well, Rupa and Sanatan were born in Brahmin families, but they were rejected. They're the main gurus in our sampradaya from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We're known as Rupa Anugas. They were born in Brahmin family, but they were rejected from Brahmana society, from strict orthodox Brahmana society. Raghunath Das Goswami was from Bengali Kayasta background, which is officially Shudra. It is accepted as Shudra. Then also Narottam Das, also from Kayasta background, means Shudra. By caste, but we don't say, if you say Narottam Das is a Shudra, then we have to go to hell for thinking like that. And that caused a big uproar when he was initiating people from Brahmana families. Krishnadas Kaviraj, it's not clear what background he was from. Some people think he's from Vaishya background, because Kobiraj, this title, is given often to Vaidyas, the Vaidyas can be Brahmanas also, but they're the Ayurvedic doctors who often are Vaishyas by background, but it's not clear or he may have been, or some say he was given the title Kaviraj by Jiva Goswami for writing his Govinda Lilamrita. But then there we have coming down, we have Baladev Vidyabhushan, who is generally said to have been born in a Vaishya family, although there is some claim that he's born in a Brahmana family. But to us, it doesn't matter, does it? Jagannath Das Babaji, no, not Brahmana family. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, Vaishya family. Then Bhaktivinod Thakur, he's born in the same family as Narottam Das, which means Kayasta, Shudra by caste. And of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is his son. And our own Srila Prabhupada, also Kayasta background. So these are all the great acharyas of our sampradaya. And if we say, no, they're not guru, then what does it mean? And then even this person was writing, I can prove from Hari Bhakti Vilas that you Westerners cannot be gurus. But he would have never heard of Hari Bhakti Vilas if Westerners acting as gurus were not spreading Krishna consciousness. So what is the actual qualification? Well, in Srimad Bhagavatam we have so many quotes. Yasya yal lakshanam proktam punso varnabhi vyanjakam yadanyat trapi drishyeta. Tatvinirdesha? Tatenaiva vinirdesha. Yes, well, it is by the one's position as Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra is to be seen by the lakshanam, by the characteristics. And there are so many quotes like that. And even within Hari Bhakti Vilas itself. From Chaitanya Charitamrita we get Jai Krishna Tattva Veta Shri Guru Hoy, who knows Kiba Vipra Kiba Shudra Nyasi Kenenoi. So we can see also the practicality of it. It's not a mechanical thing because someone is born in a Brahmana family. Anyway, I'll read from the Hari Bhakti Vilas on Guru qualifications. And these are extracted from various shastras. And I give a little commentary here and there also. A bona fide spiritual master is devoid of any faults. There are different kinds of faults. That's also discussed by Rupa Goswami in his Nectar of Instruction, that someone may seem to have faults, bodily faults, or they may seem to have the fault of not being born in a high family. That's physical fault. But or they may have faults in the sense of visibly being kama krodha parayana, that's mentioned in the Gita, the ones who are attached to or overcome by lust and anger. So a bona fide spiritual master should be devoid of all faults, pure purity. There are certain ways in which we can see people are pure by their habits. Are their habits pure? Is their behavior pure? And do they eat pure food? That means Krishna prasada. Do they keep clean? This is pure. And the ultimate purity is purity of mind. That will be manifested in their behavior. Always fixed in the principles of his ashram. So you see, this following of varnashram is very important, but always fixed in the principles of his ashram also suggests that he may not be a Brahmana by birth. Although generally it will be, because the Brahmana's ashram duty is partan, which is the main duties of a guru, is to know the Shastra and to teach it also. But others can be also, as we see. Just who will say that Bhaktivinoda Thakur is not a guru because he's completely absorbed in Shastra and giving that to others. Free from anger. Now, of course, such statements have to be understood contextually, because we see that sometimes the gurus in our parampara, they become angry. Srila Prabhupada would become angry sometimes, and actually sometimes that's required for the disciple to become angry at them. But then it's to be understood, one doesn't become angry because one's sense gratification is not fulfilled. That's the usual reason for materialistic people to become angry. But there's another kind of anger. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada was talking to a young Englishman, I believe it was, and the man said, "Oh yes, and then we can all become purified, and then we won't become angry." And Srila Prabhupada said, "What's wrong with becoming angry?" And he was surprised. Anger is good if properly applied. We worship Hanuman because he became angry. We worship Arjuna because he became angry. He didn't want to become angry. So anger properly applied is desirable, but we have to be very careful with this. It's just like fire properly applied is desirable, as it's very useful, but if it's not properly handled, it's very dangerous. So in the same way, anger properly applied can be very useful, but if it's not under proper control, then it's very dangerous. Expert in all the Vedic literature. That's a tough one, isn't it? You have to know all the Vedic literature. Well, the general idea is that one should be learned, to learn to know all the Vedic literature and to be expert in it. Not just know it, but to understand all the interpretations and the meanings. Well, there's a shortcut. Yomameva samudho janati purushottama sasarva vid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. Lord Krishna says, one who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting knows everything, and thus he worships me in all respects. Vedaisya sarvarahameva vedyaha. All the Vedas, they point to Krishna. The object of knowledge in all the Vedas is Krishna. Otherwise, we know so many Vedic literatures and we come to some wrong conclusion. Everything is God. I am God. There's no duality. It's a common misconception. It's like Srila Prabhupada gave the humorous example of this, that after reading seven khandas of Ramayana, I have one question, that Sita is whose father? You know, anyone's father. She's a female. So it becomes ridiculous. You can become expert in describing it. Yes, with this rule of Panini, and by this we interpret it like that, and so on and so on, but it becomes ridiculous. Expert in all the Vedic literatures and faithful on the path of devotional service. He does not find fault with others. Again, has to be understood contextually, because actually a guru, as Srila Prabhupada also explained, it's his duty to find fault with his disciples. You rascal! Sit up straight, Chittahari. Sit properly. It's his duty to find fault with the disciple. It's great being guru. I love it. But no, it shouldn't be that one takes that position to indulge in personal desires. Ah, I love finding faults with others. Let me become a guru. Oh, in today's day and age, There are plenty of people ready to find fault with you if you're a guru. So you may think it's a desirable position, but it is a position in which you're always on show, always under scrutiny, but not devoid of the fault-finding propensity. We find that also nindadi shunyam. This Rupa Goswami also speaks of the topmost devotee. The topmost devotee is devoid of the fault-finding tendency, simply to find fault in, just to always look for fault in others, just to try to make oneself look better and put others down. But actually the topmost devotee, if he's going to be a guru, he has to act on the Madhyama platform, in which he distinguishes Ishvare tadadhineshu balishachu dvishachu cha prema maitri kripopeksha yakaroti samadhyama. The middle level devotee, for preaching, he has to distinguish. Naturally, he loves God, he makes friendship with the devotees. He has to distinguish between the non-devotees who are simply innocent and misguided, and he takes mercy on them, and he avoids the out-and-out demons and envious people. He speaks sweetly. He is gentle, free from contamination, attractive. In what way? Again, everything has to be understood in terms of spiritual understanding. What do you mean by attractive? He has a nice smile and puts on some nice smelling perfume that's attractive, and good looking. But his very personality is attractive because he's attracted to Krishna. Now here's a very important one. This is one of the core qualities. Always desires benefit for all living beings. Always desires benefit for all living beings. Sarva bhuta hite ratam. He's always thinking of the benefit of others. Intelligent? Yeah, should be intelligent. But then again, devotee of Krishna should be intelligent. What does that mean? If you're a devotee, you must be intelligent. To not be a devotee is not intelligent. The very decision to surrender one's life to Krishna, that is the sign of actual intelligence. Sober. One can be a pure devotee and maybe not so sober in character, in as much as can be eccentric, transcendentally eccentric. But to guide others, it's required to be sober, steady, grounded. So as to be able to interact with others, and sober in the sense of being calm, able to make decisions and assess situations in a sober way, a tranquil way, not in the mode of passion, or not impulsive. Free from material desires, non-envious. So many of these things, they're almost synonymous. Free from finding faults, it means non-envious. Expert in discussing spiritual subject matters. There are so many spiritual subject matters which they may be very subtle, difficult to understand, so devotees should be interested in entering into those topics. Someone who does that regularly becomes deep in their understanding. There may be Even among devotees, there may be different opinions of what should be done based on Shastra, or how to understand different statements in Shastra. And there may be discussions on how it's to be properly understood in a manner that Krishna wants us to understand. Shastra is Krishna's communication with us. So what is Krishna saying to us here? And it may communicate different ideas to different devotees at different levels. Just like that verse I just quoted, that one who knows me knows everything. So does it mean I know, if I know Krishna, first of all, how can we know Krishna? We can't fully know him anyway. But Krishna says, Yo mam eva sammudho janati purushottamam. We know that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The full ramifications of that we cannot know, but if we accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we know everything we need to know for our spiritual advancement. We don't know how many hairs are on our head. We don't know. It's not that we suddenly wake up and we have insight into our last 20 trillion births. 20 trillion births ago, I was a worm in stool, and then I was a banana tree, and we don't have insight into that. It doesn't mean that. We literally know everything. So this kind of discussion, discussing what is the meaning of Shastra in an intelligent way. So a guru is supposed to be expert in this because he has to enlighten the disciples. Always then steady, not that one day he's Krishna conscious and the next day he's not Krishna conscious. Or steady in his practices, not the one day very enthusiastic and the next day not very enthusiastic. That may be the symptom of a neophyte devotee. But one who's going to guide others as a guru has to be steady, reliable, predictable. Now, Shyamasundara Prabhu, one of the better known godbrothers of mine, he liked to say how Srila Prabhupada was unpredictable. When you go into his room and you never knew what he was going to say, or you could never predict how Srila Prabhupada would react to anything you say or do. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada is unpredictable. But he was predictable in the sense that he was always fully Krishna conscious. So that's expected of a guru. It's not that he's going to be Krishna conscious one day and the next day not. Or he has holidays. I'm a guru, but 2 weeks of the year I just go on a holiday and then go off to Las Vegas or something, do some gambling. And I follow the four regulative principles, but 2 weeks a year I have a holiday. And there's no such thing. Steady. Always engaged in the worship of the Supreme Lord. We can say that's synonymous with being steady. Always ready to do good to others. Of course, that was very much seen in the personality of Srila Prabhupada, that he sacrificed everything for doing good to others. His life, his time, his health, his family. He sacrificed everything for doing good to others. Very affectionate to his disciples. Expert in chastising his disciples. You see the two things come together? Very affectionate to his disciples and very expert in chastising his disciples. We often hear devotees saying, oh, Srila Prabhupada, he was so affectionate to us. But that affection may be manifested in chastisement also. And certainly Srila Prabhupada was very expert in that. So that's also one factor. And expert in chastising his disciples and bestowing mercy upon them. Now the mercy can come in the form of sweet words or harsh words. Sometimes devotees who are more advanced, they think that the harsh words, they are more a symptom of the mercy than the sweet words. He's being very nice to me. That means he doesn't trust me that I can take the chastisement. Expert in chanting mantras for the performance of a fire sacrifice. This would generally mean those who are from a caste background, especially the brahmanas, but others also, the kshatriyas and vaishyas, they're supposed to perform a fire sacrifice every day in their home. Therefore, we have in Gita, at the beginning of chapter 6, Niragni, one of the symptoms expected of a sannyasi, Niragni, he doesn't have any relationship with fire. He's left his family because one who's in the family, they're supposed to perform a fire sacrifice. Still in India, we have the divisions, at least by name, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, all this. People still know which caste they belong to. But everyone's supposed to perform a fire sacrifice and worship Shalagram at home. That's what everyone in the caste does. So that's expected to be known. These things have changed. It's changed. India has changed so much. He knows what to accept and what to reject. This is very important because in Krishna consciousness, the first two things we have to learn, the practical application of this philosophy of Krishna consciousness, at every moment, anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam, what to accept and what to reject in Krishna's service. So we should know that. We have general directions in Shastra on how to apply that. What food should I accept? What food should I reject? What association should I accept? What association should I reject? These principles govern our lives at every moment. Actually, if we're living in an ashram like this, brahmachari ashram, it becomes very easy. Life is very regulated and we don't even have to think about it very much. But in the modern world with practically everything in society is pratikul. Pretty much everything. It goes against what is favorable for advancement in devotional service. And it can be very difficult if one is living in that situation to accept things which are favorable for advancement. It can become very difficult because people will tell us, why are you like that? Why are you such a fanatic? Why are you so unsocial? Therefore, we need Vaishnava communities where devotees, householders, they can come and they can live in a situation which is favorable for their advancement in devotional service. And the gurus have to practice this and teach this also. So I'm just going through this very quickly. He is pure-hearted and very compassionate. So some of the things, they're repeated in different words, but no harm to repeat. They're such important things. These are the characteristics of a genuine spiritual master. A bona fide spiritual master is a worshipper of the Supreme Lord. Now you may say, why are you saying it again and again? Well, the thing is that Hari Bhakti Vilas, it's a compilation of quotes from different Puranas and different Shastras, so the same things may be said in different parts of Shastra. So they're giving different verses which may say the same thing. He is devoid of desires for sense gratification. He is a knower of the soul's constitutional and conditional states. This is very important, isn't it? We have a lot of information about the conditional states in Bhagavad Gita. So much is given in the about the influence of the three modes of material nature, general statements. And the pure, what is the constitutional position? This is also very important to know. Mayavadis say their constitutional position is we are God. nonsense. What is our constitutional position, our spiritual position? Is a servant of Krishna. Gurus, they should know this and teach this. He's a teacher of the Vedas. Traditionally, yes, they would teach actually the Vedas, and that's still going on in some gurukuls here in what is now constituted as Tamil Nadu. In some places there are, what are they called, traditional gurukuls. They're fairly traditional. Not fully the way they used to be, but fairly true. We have in Srirangam, Kanchi, where else I was going to say? In Tirupati, that's Andhra. So there's still gurukuls where the boys are taught at least one Veda. So they would teach the Veda. Now we teach in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, the gurus, they teach Srimad Bhagavatam, especially. Nigama Kalpatara Galitam Palam, the ripened fruit of the tree of all the Vedas. Sarvaveta Itihasanam Saram Saram Hildahritam. The essence of the essence of all the Vedas and the Puranas is the Srimad Bhagavatam, which in itself is a huge, huge work, and it's hardly we're touching the surface of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Krishna, and so much depth there. The gurus teach this. And then a preacher of the purport of the Vedic literature. So this is very important, because you may study all the Vedas and still be a fool. After reading all the Ramayana, you ask of whom is Sita the father? So one has to know the purport. What is the purport of the Vedic literature? To serve Krishna, to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and ourselves as his servants. Expert in chanting and purifying mantras. Now, if we say that nowadays all these things are required to be a guru, then it'd be hard to find anyone who knows all these things in detail. These things, they were taught in the gurukuls previously. Nowadays, even in the traditional gurukuls, it's hard to find. So that the brahmanas, they'll be so expert in all these things. But the essence of it all is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So expert in chanting and purifying mantras, how does that apply? It completely applies in the best possible way by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And we may say, well, that's just because we can't do it the way they used to do it. But no, this is, even if you do know all those intricate procedures, it's still more important and better to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. It's not that chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is a substitute for all the intricate procedures and rituals and knowledge that used to be taught. It's not that it's a second best substitute, but actually it's better than all of that put together. This should be understood. A topmost brahmana, a guru should be a topmost brahmana. So then someone may say, you see evidence from Hari Bhakti Vilas that topmost brahmana means he has to be born in a very high family in India. So you can't be a Westerner. Well, if I have time this evening, I'll get round to... Oh, I'm not going to have time. Maybe I have to continue this tomorrow. So I'll get round to discussing that in some more detail. Topmost brahmana, a knower of yantras and mantras, capable of removing all doubts. That's important. Although sometimes we see people, it's like they've as if adopted an attitude of doubt. And whatever you say, they don't understand. It's possible to doubt whatever is said. if we're not actually serious and serious to understand what is the absolute truth, then everything can be presented with all logic and reason and still will doubt. So the disciple has to be also sincere and fortunate enough to have come enough out of the Krishna Bahimukh attitude, the attitude of being away from Krishna, inimical, and to realize that I need to approach a guru. There are so many things to be said on this point. A knower of the confidential meanings of Shastra, expert in achieving perfection by reciting mantras, a knower of mantras that are chanted while performing a fire sacrifice, expert in applying mantras to appropriate circumstances. So he says a lot of emphasis on mantras here. But then again we have that verse which I asked you to look up, that what is that? Shatkarmani panovipra mantra tantra visharadaha avaishnava guru nasyat vaishnava svapacha guruhu. That verse qualifies all these statements, that one may be expert in all the rituals and the mantras and the yantras and all these things, but if he's not a Vaishnava, he's not competent to be a guru. And a Vaishnava guru, but if one is from the lowest family, where it's not expected to know all these things, but if he's a Vaishnava, he's a guru. Now we may say, well, isn't it better then to be a Vaishnava and know all these things? But even that, not necessarily. Because one may know so many details and be a Vaishnava, but one can be somewhat caught up in the Niyamagraha misconception of thinking that knowing so many details is all important. But actually what is all important is the spirit of surrender to Krishna. If one knows so many details, now we're not saying that all these details are unimportant. We do want to revive Vedic culture as far as possible. But we should always remember that the essence of Vedic culture is to love Krishna, to serve Krishna, to do things that are pleasing to Krishna. Generally speaking, the Vedic mantras, reciting the Vedic mantras, that is pleasing to Krishna. They're given by Krishna. We're not decrying the Vedic mantras or saying they're unimportant, but their relative importance should be understood in the light of what pleases Krishna and what does not please Krishna. Then more qualifications. The guru should be an ascetic. In some places it said he should be a householder. In some places it says he should be renounced from family life. We have to see what's suitable for all individuals, should be truthful. And of course, a guru, he speaks the truth inasmuch as he always presents Krishna. And now it says he may belong to the householder stage of life. So he may be a grihastha. Even though a spiritual master possesses the above-mentioned qualities, he should never accept disciples simply for his comfort, fame, and accumulation of wealth. This is very important. This is a principle that has to be understood. Even if you may say, oh, someone's born in a very high family, he knows so many mantras and tantras and yantras, but look, he's making disciples for name and fame and money. So the whole thing is contaminated by his greedy mentality, his impure mentality. Rather, a spiritual master who is most compassionate should accept disciples for the benefit of the fallen conditioned souls. Why does a guru accept disciples? Not for his own benefit, but to benefit others. Such a person can best act as someone's guru. Because the spiritual master is self-satisfied by Krishna's mercy, he is the benefactor of all living entities. He's self-satisfied. That means he doesn't want anything from anyone. Therefore, he can benefit them. He's free from material desires, always perfect, expert in all departments of knowledge, expert in removing all doubts, and never lazy. So that's an important point. And never lazy. Again, this is no holidays. We can all, it's in the holiday season, so all the gurus can go on a holiday. We can all fly off together somewhere and have a holiday. It's not like that. There's no holiday. There's no laziness. Active, should be active in Krishna's service, which doesn't necessarily mean running around all the time. It can be sitting down and studying Shastra, but not lazy. The spiritual master should be an exalted Brahmana who knows the five type of knowledge that are described in the Pancharatra. Exactly what Pancharatra means, there are different opinions. Sometimes it's said it's because it was spoken in five nights. Sometimes it's said because it comprises five departments of knowledge, which are referred to here. The five departments of knowledge, one is Mṛtyuṁjaya, that which gives one freedom from death. So that is knowledge in sattva-guna. And it gives liberation up to the point of the lotus feet of the Lord. That's also described as being in sattva-guna. Then there's one described as nirguna, which is beyond the modes of material nature, which is pure devotional service to Krishna. Krishna bhakti, which gives servitorship under the lotus feet of Hari. Then rajasic, within the Pancharatra Shastra, there's some which is rajasic. Yogic knowledge consists, yogic knowledge which leads to getting yoga siddhis, so that's considered rajasic, because that's for fulfilling material desires. And then tamasic, materialistic knowledge aimed at sense gratification. So a guru is expected to know the five types of knowledge that are described in the Pancharatra. Within the history of this Kali Yuga, I don't think there's no record of anyone knowing all the Pancharatras. It's a huge body of literature, but at least one should be knowledgeable of the various categories which are there, not that necessarily one has to know all these things. He should, the guru should display his mercy to the members of all the varnas by giving them initiation. In the absence of such a qualified brahmanas, a kshatriya who is peaceful, always fixed in thought of the Supreme Lord, pure-hearted, a knower of everything, a knower of shastra, always engaged in pious activities, a master of the three kinds of perfection, and one who has received initiation mantras from his own spiritual master, is able to give initiation, otherwise not. So the description of a kshatriya, he sounds almost like a brahmana. He's very peaceful and all. So it means by caste. Again, this is coming by caste. And as I mentioned, to understand why is this all in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, then Śrīla Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakura says there are certain smarter considerations have been introduced. It's been because Gopal Bhatta Goswami, he collected so much material and just gave it all and put it all. So different directions in Shastra for people at different levels. It's not necessarily all meant for pure devotees or those who are on the path of pure devotion. Although generally within the Varna, at the time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then people would follow Varnashram rules as they were going on at the time. Although Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself flouted them in major ways, for instance by accepting Haridas Thakur as his dear devotee, accepting Rupa and Sanatan Goswami as his dear devotees, because they were rejected from respectable Hindu society. Another consideration is that priti vite ache jato nagaradigram sabhatta prachahoi be moranam. Krishna consciousness has to be preached all over the world. And then, but then if anyone goes from India, or if we're going to follow all the strict smarter rules, anyone who goes out of India, they lose their caste. They, and then they can't initiate. And then what? It'll be preached all over the world, but no one will become Krishna conscious. Is that the meaning? Obviously not. And it means that Westerners will take up Krishna consciousness and they'll also become gurus and everything. And then there are a Kshatriya can initiate people from his own, from Kshatriya, Vaishyas or lower. A Vaishya can initiate those from Vaishya and Shudra. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also mentions this, that in general one should follow all these rules just to maintain some peacefulness in society. But it's not, it's a social consideration which may be flouted, as Narottam Das was the first to do this in a big way. And also then Shyamananda, Rasikananda at the same time. They would initiate people from lower castes, which caused a stir. But then what do you do? They are the ones who are carrying the mercy of the Sampradaya. And if they say, no, I can't initiate. I do everything to teach others and guide them, but then I can't initiate. So these things, they're all very subtle, they're to be understood properly. How far we follow Varnashram rules, we want to introduce it, should we introduce these things gradually? All these things are to be discussed, because we are in the material world and we do have material considerations. At the same time, we're trying to bring people to the spiritual level, but it doesn't happen overnight, which is why we require gurus also. So we have to consider what is the guidance in Shastra and tradition. We don't reject all these things stated in Hari Bhakti Vilas. How much they're applicable at the present time has to be seen. Then, when his disciples are mature, such a spiritual master should entrust them with the responsibility of becoming spiritual masters themselves, which gives the idea that in the presence of a guru, his disciples may initiate also. And that seems to have been the tradition until fairly recently. And then again, stressing this point about taking, don't take a guru from a lower, member of a lower varna. But again, this is in terms of bodily consideration, although there are very strong statements that you'll be completely destroyed if you take initiation from someone of a lower varna. But then we see our acharyas didn't follow this. Then how do we understand? Have they flouted Shastra? In one sense you can say so. But in another sense, we have to be very, very careful with this, because if we think, as some people may have, that was done in the presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, some people who considered themselves brahmanas, because they're brahmanas by birth, thought themselves superior to Raghunath Das Goswami. They mentioned like that, because he's from a, superficially from a Shudra background, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was very, very upset with this. How can they how do they think they, who identify with their bodies, how do they think they're superior to Raghunath Das Goswami? Because Raghunath Das Goswami superficially appeared in a Shudra family. A Brahmana who is an exalted devotee of the Supreme Lord and who knows the glories of Vaishnava Dharma is the spiritual master of all members of all Varnas. And then we have to see here, well, Brahmana, who's a Brahmana? We have to see by their character, personality, activities. It's not necessarily by birth. He should be worshipped, Sacha Pujo Yatahyaham. He should be worshipped by everyone just as Lord Hari is worshipped by all. Now, hear from Hari Bhaktivilas, if a non-Vaishnava is born in an aristocratic family, very high-class Brahmana, is expert in performing all types of sacrifices, has studied 1,000 branches of the Vedas. Nowadays, how many branches are there? We have the Kanva and the, what's the other one? I just can't remember just now. Hardly there are any branches left. The Krishna Yajurveda, there's the Kanva Shaka. What's the other one? I can't remember. You don't know either. They're practically gone, all these shakas are gone. But even if you happen to know them all, and I'm just trying to remember. In other words, even if you're completely pukka from all the external point of view, but if you're not a Vaishnava, then you can't become the guru of a Vaishnava. But one who is initiated into Vaishnava mantras and is actually worshipping Lord Vishnu, he's a Vaishnava, and others are non-Vaishnavas. And then more statements. All of one's good fortune and opulence will be vanquished if one accepts a guru who eats voraciously. You may say, well, what about Madhvacharya? He could eat so much. Who is lazy, who is greedy for acquiring. But the point is that someone, he doesn't become a guru to fill his belly. That is not the point. Who is lazy, who is greedy for acquiring material opulence, who is fond of arguing against the Shastra, who is mischievous, who is happy to expose others' sinful activities, who is a blasphemer, who has no hair or much hair on his body. This is physiognomy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had much hair on his body. Does that mean he's not a guru? But these are external considerations by which we can, someone who's in the bodily concept of life may be very much enamored of these. Who is engaged in the service of a condemned ashram. That we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita when Lord Chaitanya reached Mathura and he met one Brahmana who was known as a Sarariya Brahmana. And he, certain kind of Brahmana who would perform the Brahminical priestly duties for fallen castes. And so he was, this Brahmana was considered very low among Brahmanas because their caste background is to perform Brahminical duties, ritual duties for lower castes. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as a topmost Vaishnava. He immediately recognized him as the topmost Vaishnava because this Brahmana was dancing in ecstasy and chanting Hare Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu knew he must have a connection with Madhavendra Puri. Otherwise it's not possible. Who has black teeth, whose complexion is black, whose lips are black, who has bad breath, who is very cunning and accepts a lot of charity although he doesn't require it. So these are warnings. Don't do all of this. Now, we have in Hari Bhakti Vilas also some statements. Let's see if I can find that now. All right, now there's some very interesting statements from the Padma Purana, which are quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas and quoted by Srila Prabhupada. I'm reading from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila, chapter 1, text 35. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Sanatan Goswami for compiling Hari Bhakti Vilas. Guru Lakshan, the characteristics of a guru. So that's what we're discussing, and this is what Sanatan Goswami has just written about. Shisha Lakshan, the characteristics of a bona fide disciple. Doha Parikarn, how they test each other. Savior Bhagavan Sarva Mantra Vicharan, that the Supreme Lord Krishna is to be accepted as the object of service. And Sarva Mantra Vicharan, Srila Prabhupada has translated this as, you should describe the Bij Mantra for the worship of Krishna as well as that for Rama and for other expansions of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport, which Srila Prabhupada takes from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he quotes from Padma Purana as quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Mahabhagavato Shreshto Brahmana Vaigurur Ninam Sarvesham Eva Lokanam Asau Pujo Yata Harihi Mahakula Prasuto Pi Sarva Yageshu Dikshitaha Sahasra Shakya Dhyaicha Na Guru Syad Avaishnavaha. So I just read the English translation of this. The guru must be situated on the topmost platform of devotional service, Srila Prabhupada writes. So, Mahabhagavato Shreshto Brahmano Vai Guru Ninam. He should be a topmost devotee and a Brahmana. But what does Brahmana mean here? Does it mean that one is from a Brahmana family? Then Srila Prabhupada qualifies this by saying that in the Upadesha Amrita, I'm just going through quickly because I don't have much time, that Upadesha Amrita of Rupa Goswami, a guru is a Goswami, a controller of the senses and the mind. Such a guru can accept disciples from all over the world. This is the test of a guru. Mahakula Prasuto Pi. Now this means if one is born in a very high family, even if he's born in a Mahakula Prasuto Pi, even if he's born in a very high family. Sarva Yagyeshu Dikshitaha. He's initiated into the performance of all different kinds of sacrifices. Sahasra Shakha Dhyayicha. He's studied all the thousand branches of the Vedas. Naguru Syad Avaishnavaha. He can't be a guru if he's not a Vaishnava. And unfortunately, I don't have time to read all of this. Also, we have quoted in Hari Bhakti Vilas, Chandalo Pi Dvija Shreshtha Hari Bhakti Parayanaha Hari Bhakti Vihinascha. What's the next line? Dvijo Pi Svapacha Adamaha. If one is born in the family of a Chandala, If one is born in the family of a topmost Brahmin family, but he's not a devotee of Krishna, then this is a Chandala. And if one is born in the family of a Chandala, but he's a devotee of Krishna, he's the best of Brahmanas. So this is the proper, all different kinds of quotes are given in Hari Bhakti Vilas. People who are on the bodily concept, they'll gravitate toward those kind of understandings. But those who are on the spiritual understanding, they'll gravitate toward that. If we have some more time, not much, then I'll do this also. Actually, as you can see, I make my notes, but then at the last minute, there are always more things to think about. From Srimad Bhagavatam, here we have from the third canto, chapter 29, text 32. Better than the Brahmana who knows the purpose of the Vedas is he who can dissipate all doubts. And better than him is one who strictly follows the Brahminical principles. Better than him is one who is liberated from all material contamination. And better than him is a pure devotee who executes devotional service without expectation of reward. So all these statements from other shastras, which you're hearing from Hari Bhakti Vilas, they're all to be understood in the light of Srimad Bhagavatam. The definitive is Srimad Bhagavatam. And then there's, I'm just skipping through. One must be able to clear all doubts and simultaneously be situated in the Brahmanical characteristics. Such a person who knows the purpose of the Vedic injunctions, who can employ the principles laid down in the Vedic literatures, and who teaches his disciples in that way, is called an acharya. The position of an acharya is that he executes devotional service with no desire for elevation to a higher position of life. So these things should be understood. But it's largely understood, actually, now due to Srila Prabhupada's preaching, at least even in India, it's largely understood that one who actually preaches Krishna consciousness and acts like that, they're actually brahmanas, they're actually gurus, it's widely accepted. And there are still some people protesting about this. But a real brahman and a real guru is one who walks the walk and talks that, not only talks that, he talks the talk, he talks about Krishna and he walks the walk, he lives it also. So by practical demonstration, it's seen that those who are able to give Krishna consciousness, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, Jaha hoite Krishna bhakti shei guru hoi. Such a person is a guru who gives, from whom one receives bhakti. There's much, much more to be said about this, but I'll finish here as we're over time. Anyway, the point, Hari Bhakti Vilas gives so many guidelines on what it means to accept a guru. The general idea is there. He should be a Vaishnava, should be pure in his behavior, pure in his characteristics. But do not misunderstand it to think that one's eligibility to be a guru is constrained by birth in a particular family. Hare Krishna. So we now should be Tulasi Artya. Parivadatu jano yata tata va nanamukarona vayang vichayama harivasamadira madati mata bhuvilo dhamma nardhamma nirvisham. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama 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 Rama.